smart. The House has approved legislation setting goals and limitations on the federal government's use of the remaining $350 billion in the financial bailout fund. The legislation requires that $40 billion to $100 billion be used to reduce the number of mortgage foreclosures. It also places executive pay restrictions on financial institutions that receive the money. It passed by a vote of 260 to 166. President Barack Obama's economic team has said he would abide by many of the provisions, even without the legislation. A conservative congressman says he doubts the massive economic stimulus package being promoted by Democrats on Capitol Hill will accomplish the goals President Obama has ascribed to it. AFN's Jim Brown has that story.
The $825 billion economic stimulus package crafted by President Obama and Democratic leaders in Washington is being labeled as the largest public works project since the creation of the U.S. interstate system. Virginia Republican Congressman Bob Goodlatte warns that big government spending increases did not help the economy in the days of Herbert Hoover and FDR.
This did not work back during the Great Depression in the 1930s. Massive amounts of new federal government programs and new federal government spending all through the 1930s left us at the end of the 1930s still in a depression with massive unemployment, far, far higher unemployment rates than we're seeing in the country today.
Goodlatte argues that World War II, not increased federal spending, ended the Great Depression. He believes reducing taxes and increasing investment in our free enterprise system will help end the current economic recession. I'm Jim Brown.
An immigration reform activist says there would be an irresistible wave of refugees across the southern U.S. border if a recent warning in a Pentagon report plays out.
According to the El Paso Times, Mexico recently dispatched 2,000 more federal troops to the border town of Juarez as violence there continues. The situation in Mexico has not escaped the attention of the U.S. Joint Forces Command, which recently released a Joint Operating Environment, JOE 2008 report, which contains projections of global threats and potential next wars. The report actually puts Mexico on the same level as Pakistan in terms of worst-case scenarios for the Joint Force, with the possibility of a rapid and sudden collapse of those two large and important states. It went on to say that any descent in Mexico into chaos would demand an American response based on serious implications for homeland security alone. Rick Altman of Californians for Population Stabilization hopes that scenario can be avoided.
One would hope that they're trying to do something to deal with that situation and bring it under control. But right now, it just seems like the drug cartels are so powerful, they are so rich, they are so well-armed, that they just continue to do what they want, and Mexico City can do nothing to stop it.
And Altman says the current illegal alien invasion would pale in comparison to what would happen if the Mexican government would collapse.
That would lead to hundreds of thousands and millions of people moving north. And that would be a wave of refugees that would be irresistible. And it would just be an enormous problem, one that would require not just the Border Patrol, but also the U.S. military to get involved.
The Joint Forces report said that the Mexican government, its politicians, police, and judicial infrastructure are all under sustained assault by criminal gangs and drug cartels. I'm Chad Groening.
Federal officials say more than 125 products have been recalled in a salmonella and peanuts investigation that keeps getting bigger. The list ranges from goodies like cakes and ice cream to dog biscuits. All were made with peanut paste or peanut butter made at a Peanut Corporation of America plant in Blakely, Georgia that has suspended production. FDA food safety expert Dr. Steven Sunloff says peanut butter sold in jars to consumers is not affected.
There is no indication that any national name brand jars of peanut butter sold in retail stores are linked to the PCA recall.
The weight loss company Nutrisystem was among the latest customers of PCA to be caught up in the investigation, issuing a recall for peanut butter granola bars. More than 480 people have been sickened in that outbreak, which has contributed to at least six deaths. Investigators say tests have found salmonella in the plant. And that's a look at news to the hour. For the American Family News Network,
fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're going to continue here in our study in the Book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 7, verse 1. We'll just start at the top again. Shigion of David, which he sang unto Yahuwah the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me, and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him without cause that is mine enemy, let the enemy persecute my soul, and take it, yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth, and lay my honor in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, Yahuwah, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and the reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. And the word pate there is a crown, or on the top of his own head. I will praise Yahuwah according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of Yahuwah Most High. So we see again David in much tribulation on a certain occasion, speaking of those who are persecuting him and how their persecution, how those things that they plan against others will fall upon their own heads one day. Only when that happens, it will last forever. I would be very afraid if I were those people. I would be afraid of anyone who brings false accusations against anyone who upholds false accusations, because we certainly will reap what we sow. It may seem like to them like they're getting away with it for a while. It may seem like to them that they are in charge of things, and perhaps they are in a temporal sense, but they are also in charge of things forever. Only things on the eternal plan are not going to work out the same way as they do on a temporal plan. Chapter 8. To the chief musician upon Gittith, and that is a harp. A psalm of David. O Lord our God, or our Lord. It says, O Lord our Lord, and there you see something that seems redundant, of course, in the English. It looks redundant because it says, O Lord, but in the Hebrew it says, Yahuwah, our Adonai. So he's calling our Creator by name, our Adonai, or Lord. And there, you know, there are people that say that we shouldn't use the word Lord or God, and I do disagree with that, because we, in English, we need a comparable word that we can translate the Hebrew into, like Elohim. You know, how do we translate that into English? Do we have to speak Hebrew whenever we see that word? No, we use the word God, because it is basically the same word by meaning, or the word Lord. A lot of people say, well, that's a title of nobility. Well, here in the Hebrew, it says Adon, Adon, or we translate it Adonai, from an unused meaning to rule, meaning sovereign or a controller, a lord, a master, an owner. So there it is. We have to be able to translate words into English so we can speak and use them. But here, translating the name as Lord and then translating the word Adon as Lord makes it somewhat redundant and confusing in English. So if we do it properly, we know that David is actually using the name here. He's saying Yahuwah, our Adonai, or our Lord. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. And you know, this is one that has been incorporated into worship in many congregations. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. But they never use his name. And they sing it, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all. But they never use the name. And you hear a lot of songs, a lot of worship songs like that, and many from the Psalms, where they use the phrase, the name, or how excellent is your name, or I will worship your name, or I lift your name on high. But they never do. They just keep using Lord and God. And of course, then they use Jesus too. And they never consider really using the name and lifting it up on high. So when I sing many songs, I will, if they say Lord, I will say Yahuwah. And there's another song I was thinking of because I have it on a CD when I travel in my vehicle or automobile or whatever you call the thing out there that I used to travel in. I usually listen to worship and praise. And there's that song. It says, Our God is an awesome God. And you know, I kind of take I feel that those words aren't quite right. Because as I discussed the word awesome as it came up today in the Psalms, and as a reference, I will only use the word awesome in reference to our Almighty Creator or the things that He has done. And this song says, Our God is an awesome God. And if you say something is an awesome God, well, does that mean that there are other awesome gods? If He is an awesome God? Isn't He the awesome God? So I sing it a little differently. Our God is the awesome God, because He is the one and only. There's no other awesome God. So isn't He the awesome God? So anyway, like I said, I sing it a little differently, and I teach everyone I can that there is only one God. There is only one awesome God, and He is the awesome God. And then I sing Yahuwah is the awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with power, wisdom, and love. Our God, Yahuwah, is the awesome God. So, you know, you can get a little inventive when you sing, and you can incorporate the name everywhere they say the Lord. You can just sing His name and incorporate it into praise, and especially when you're singing a song that where you're proclaiming how excellent is thy name. And then to use His name, it gives so much more power to the praise. Because every time you say His name, and especially you say the name of His Son, and you say Yahushua, you're proclaiming that our God, our Creator, is our salvation. And that's why His name is the name above all names. Because it is the name of our Creator. And I guess I can't help it, getting into Psalms here and seeing so much praise, that I have to talk about His name and how we need to praise His holy name as much as we can. Continuing in chapter 8, verse 1, I'll just start from the second verse. Let's see. O Lord, our Lord, or Yahuwah, our Adonai, how excellent is thy name. So you proclaim the name and you say how excellent it is. seems much more powerful if you actually use the name. How excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And what is the glory and honor that he has crowned man with, that he has made a little lower than the angels? Well, the glory and honor that he has crowned man with is that he has created man in his own image. Wouldn't you say that's a glory and honor? Because the glory and honor of it is that it is his glory that we're created in his image. And what an honor that he has created us in his image. So, understanding. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And also that his son, his only begotten son, may be born to these people, to mankind that he has created, and be called the Son of Man. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Of course, figuratively speaking, because the things above our head are, well, I guess they're under our feet if you if you go through the earth. But he has put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. Yahuwah, our Adonai, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Do you feel that way? Is his name excellent? I've had it proclaimed to me that his name is a distraction. I've had that proclaimed to me at the church where I fellowship on occasion several times a month, because they know that what I preach, I'm not highly esteemed there. And I guess that's fine with me. It doesn't matter. I will continue in obedience regardless of the esteem or lack thereof of my fellow men. So, Yahuwah, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And I want his name to be excellent. It is excellent to me. It is not a distraction. And like I always point to that banner on my website where it says, you know, has crossed the border, has my name, Nicholas Arthur, and then it has a statement of purpose, biblical studies. So we certainly aren't gonna leave out anything. We are going to include the study of his name, because it is part of biblical studies. We're in chapter 9 of the Psalms here. David continues to the chief musician upon Muth-Leban. Muth-Leban. And that is the presupposition, an article imposed to die for the son, probably the title of a popular song. Death. Muth-Leban. Well, that's interesting. Sometimes you got to look at these and, you know, why they didn't translate it here, but they left it in the Hebrew, Muth-Leban. And he says here, to die for the son. Let's keep that in mind as we go through these words. A psalm of David. I will praise thee, Yahuwah, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou satest. How do you pronounce that word? S-A-T-E-S-T. Satest. Thou satest in the throne, judging right. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Verse 5, thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. And you know, this is David by faith believing something that certainly has not come to pass. And you know, I have this sense of awe, some wonder, when I think about his creation and the works of his hands. And he says he created everything. Look at the creation around you. He created everything in 6 days. And on the seventh day he rested. But I have this really revelation about the creation that gives me more cause to sit in awesome wonder about it all, is that in the 6 days of creation, in it, he predestined everything in that 6 days of creation. When he set it all in motion, he created today in that 6 days of creation. It was already preordained. It says in Romans 8:28, it says, for all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. For who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his only begotten Son. Another one of my memory verses. I suggest everyone memorize that. Romans 8:28, 29, 30, and just go on from there and memorize that. But it's a wonderful memory verse. And the more, once you get that in your brain and you turn it over and you meditate it on it continually, you realize that, yes, he did create it all in 6 days. He created everything in 6 days. The whole of creation as we know it, the universe, the earth, the time. And he could see it all when he created it. He could see me sitting here in this studio behind this mic. He could see all the trials and tribulations of my life and yours. He could see the man of God in prison today. He could see the millions that died for their faith throughout history. And he can see the millions that will die for their faith and for the cause of righteousness. He saw it all because he created it all. He didn't just create it, wind it up like an alarm clock, and now it's standing back and, let's see what happens kind of thing. No. Every single detail he created, he foreordained it. It says because, well, I'll just recite it by memory again. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose, because whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his only begotten Son, that he might be the first fruits. And I'm losing it there. I guess I need to refresh my mind and my memory a little bit. But you can read it there. And you get the idea that whom he foreknew, he also predestined. And that's what this makes me think of. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. See, because it's already foreordained. Because whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. But the contrary is likewise. Those he foreknew, he also predestined for destruction. And chapter 9, verse 5, thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. It's already written, because he foreknew. He says, all things work together for good to them that love God, for them that are called according to his purpose. What is the contrary? You got to look at the other side of that coin too. And that's why it's so wonderful to memorize some of these scriptures. Because then they just stick in your mind and you meditate on them. They can become alive. And I see the opposite is true too. Because those that don't love God, it's not going to work out for their good. You see? Because if one is true, if those that love God, if all things are going to work out for their good, then those who don't love him, things are not going to work out too well for them. And that's what David here is proclaiming in this verse. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But Yahuwah shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord Yahuwah also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Yahuwah, hath not forsaken them that seek thee. We'll pick up here after these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
FlyingEagleGold.com says don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman over the alternative media until you understand the full story. Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world at a very competitive cost. And Jeffrey takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. You're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, and we're continuing here in Psalms. We left off in Psalm 9 before the break there. So I'm going to back up a little bit. Let's see. But Yahuwah, and of course the Lord in the Authorized King James Version, shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Yahuwah also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And he certainly is that. And they know thy name, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Yahuwah, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to Yahuwah, which dwell in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. And there's a word, inquisition. When he maketh inquisition. So all of you sinners out there, all of you worshipers of Baal, all of you, having your holidays, there's an inquisition coming that none will escape. The only ones that will escape his inquisition are those whose sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. If your sins are not covered by the blood of the Lamb, you are going directly to His Inquisition. So there is an Inquisition coming. You will not be able to hide from it. All of you that are conducting your own little inquisitions as if you are some kind of god to persecute those that call upon His name, there's an inquisition coming for you. You're going to miss the first resurrection, because this inquisition is reserved for all of those who miss the first resurrection. They're going to the resurrection of the damned, I call it. The scripture says, blessed is he who has part in the first resurrection. It ain't going to work out too good for those that miss it. It's like that verse, "It's all things work together for good to those that love God." Well, things ain't going to work out too good for those that hate God and hate His people and persecute Him and His name and His people. They're going to have an inquisition. Because when they give their last breath, the next thing they know, they are going to appear in His courtroom. And their inquisition isn't going to be like the inquisitions that they have. There's going to be no false allegations. There are going to be no false charges or false witnesses. There is only going to be truth, undeniable truth. They will stand and they will fall. And their fall will be forever, because it says they will not stand. They will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. Inquisition. There you go. Let's see. Inquisition. The word there. Darash. When he maketh inquisition for blood, and that means for your murders, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, Yahuwah. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. Yahuwah is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. And he says, Higayon. It's a murmuring sound. And Selah. So some kind of a musical note of a sort. The wicked, Psalm chapter 9, Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. And that's, I'm in the midst of a nation that has forgotten God. Israel, with the 70th week, the advent of the 70th week, as a nation, they had forgotten God. And, of course, that was the abomination which maketh desolate. And the nation Israel fell from the face of history forever. Of course, there was a remnant, and he always had his remnant. Every time the nation Israel fell, he always had his remnant, and he proclaimed it. And he still has his remnant today in the earth. He has his remnant in America, a nation that has forgotten God. That is obvious by the laws that they passed and how they sanction sodomy. They sanction those that hate God. They sanction adultery. They sanction murder. Certainly, they have forgotten God and they've forgotten his law. But just as certain, there is a remnant that have not forgotten. Continuing in verse 18. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, Yahuwah, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men, that they may know that they are just men, and they are not gods. Though they certainly act like gods, do they not? They lord it over others. And as the Messiah said, you shall not be. In my kingdom, it will not be like the kingdoms of this world, where men lord it over one another. But the greatest in my kingdom will be the servant of all. So you want to be great in his kingdom? Then you have to serve. Not as the nations of this world, where they think of themselves as gods, lording it over one another. Chapter 10 and verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, Yahuwah, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? You know, we all feel this. We all feel like when trouble comes, it feels like he is far off. And it reminds me of a question that many people ask. It goes something like this. If there is a God, why does he allow so much evil in the world? Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? Why is there so much evil in the world? He continues, the wicked in his pride does persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. He's not hiding. He is not far off. He allows them to build their wicked devices, to construct their wicked constructs, and they will be taken in them. But the poor are persecuted, and the righteous are persecuted. Why? That sin may be judged. Because if the wicked couldn't do wickedly, then would they have a choice to serve him or to not serve him? Because if we serve him, then we do righteousness. If we choose not to serve him, we do wickedness. And that wickedness brings suffering and corruption. And who is it going to bring suffering and corruption upon? Well, first, it's going to bring suffering and persecution against those that can't defend themselves. That's right. So why do the wicked prosper? Why does God allow suffering and evil in the world? That sin may be seen for what it is. That sin may be judged in the flesh. But it's only temporary. Also, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, so that it will work out his purpose in our life, that we may be tried as gold, that we may be conformed to the image of his only begotten Son, who was perfected or matured through suffering. So if he was perfected or matured through suffering, how much more us, who are evil, who are sinful? I know a lot of people don't like to think of themselves that way, but the Messiah said it. He said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Father who is in heaven? How much more your Father who is in heaven? He said, if you, being evil, we recognize, you know, that's where the humble part comes in. We recognize what we are, that our righteousness is only a gift from him, that everything good in our lives is a gift from God. None of it comes from us. Only the wicked look at themselves and say, I'm a good man. God won't let me go to hell. That's not very humble, is it? No, the humble man says, everything good in my life is a gift from God. I'm not a good man apart from him. I'm only good because he is good, because he has imputed his righteousness to me. No good thing comes out of me unless it comes from him first. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. And how do they do that today? How do they in their pride persecute the poor? Oh, we're doing it for the good of mankind. We're doing it for the children. Oh, we're so good. So we're going to persecute you. And we're going to steal from the poor because we need to take from you and give to those that we deem more worthy. We have to redistribute the wealth. In their pride, they persecute the poor in spirit. Because here the word poor can also be humble, lowly, afflicted. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the humble, the lowly, and the afflicted. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom Yahuwah abhorreth. Yeah, they do. They bless the covetous. They steal from the people. They steal from the lowly, not from the lofty. And they redistribute the wealth to their friends. I mean, who's getting the bailout money here? You know, and where are they getting it from? They're enslaving the people to reward all of their friends in the government. They're not in the governments for service anymore. Grace, that was what, like I said, one of the lamb-like principles that the nation was founded on, that those who rule would be servants of the people. No longer are they servants of the people. They're self-serving, and they serve themselves and their friends who put them there and who keep them in their positions of not service to the people of the nation, but their position of power over the people to lord it over them. Yes, that lamb-like feature is gone. And anyone who would exhibit that lamb-like feature in service to their country, well, they're relegated to impotence in the government. That's right, impotence. They have no power because those who would lord it over have the power, and they make sure that those who would correct the ills of government, who would try to re-implement those lamb-like features, they make sure that they have no voice, no power to return the government to a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So we'll continue. The wicked through pride of his countenance, and of course his countenance is how he sees himself and how he is seen by others. Through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not at all in their thoughts, in his thoughts. Yeah, is he? No, he's not. He's not at all. You can tell by the things they do, because they do them without fear of God. They don't fear that the very things that they do to others will come back on their own head. They only look at the countenance of their position, how they see themselves and how others see them, and how it will profit them and their friends during this life, how it will secure their position of power. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. That's how they feel. You know, while they plunge others into adversity and trials and tribulations, they say, oh, it'll never happen to me. And those, you see them all the time. You know, they jump on the bandwagon. They believe all the lies. They persecute and taunt the righteous as they're being persecuted. And they go, it'll never happen to me. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, and in the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. How do we apply that? His eyes are privily set against the poor. He doth murder in secret places. Well, he hides. Well, secret places. Let's see. How could we apply that to a situation today? Oh, yeah. How about this? The privacy of the children. What they can do out of concern for the privacy of the children. Yes, our inquisitions must be done in secret. That's right. By law. Nothing can be exposed to the public. They don't want people to see what they're doing. And if they can use the law to hide their wickedness, that is exactly what they do. In secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the humble, the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. Yes, we need to keep our eyes wide open. We need to watch for that net. Sometimes they catch you in it when you're not looking. He croucheth. He humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. Who are strong ones? Well, they're the ones who are armed. well, I guess they call them policy enforcers, don't they? Policemen. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. There is no God. I am God. Yes, we all came out of this rock, didn't we? Didn't we evolve from the mucky mire over millions of years? And life evolved when it rained in the rocks for millions of years, and then life formed, and then something crawled out of the ocean. And yes, there is no God, he has said in his heart. Thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it. For thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it with thy hand. The poor committed himself unto thee, speaking of our Creator. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. It's coming. That time is coming where all of the wicked will never be found again. Yahuwah is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Yahuwah hath, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. And who is the man of the earth? Well, the man who believes there is no God, the man who says, hey, we sprung out of these rocks, and out of these rocks the slime developed into life, into the ocean, and then it crawled out onto the land, and then all the animals formed, and then suddenly, you know, all of a sudden, man eventually formed. First he was a little monkey type thing, and then he evolved into an ape, and then he evolved into man. There is no God. That's the man of the earth who oppresses because he doesn't fear God, because he has convinced himself that a rock is his father, that he came out of slime. And hey, what a comforting thought for those that practice wickedness, those that hate their neighbor, that oppress others for gain, for money. Yes, that's their motivating thing, is the riches that this life has to offer. But we know what their end is. We can count on the word of our Heavenly Father that their end will be nothing, that their end will be eternal punishment, that they will reap what they have sown, that everything that they devised against those whom they oppressed, that their wickedness, that their sin, and their love for sin may be revealed. It will all come upon them forever. Yes, they may cause us to be suffering, but our Heavenly Father is going to take all of that persecution, all of that suffering, and He is going to use it for our good. Not too good for them, but yes, for our good. He is going to conform us to the image of His only begotten Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren, as it is written there. In Romans 8, 28, 29, and 30. Read it there for yourself. You've been listening to Cross the Border. And remember, there's nothing more important in this life than that you cross the border into the kingdom of heaven and live forever. Hallelujah.
Jesus' name.